Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
We're going to be hearing much of Rooty Hill this coming week as Julia Gillard and her band of merry ministers pack their bags and embed themselves into Sydney's west. Now, I don't want to be just Sydney-centric. Think some of Melbourne's western suburbs, some of Adelaide's outer northern suburbs, Perth, southwestern suburbs. Labor claims them as its heartland. But if you look at the polls, they are in lots of strife with what they've always thought are their true believers. So I thought it would be a good night to get the real picture from on the ground. And also it gives us a good reason for our first political chat of the year on Open House on 1300 40 2020. How do you view this Gillard bandwagon, especially if you're in some of what's said to be these heartland suburbs of Labor anywhere in Australia? Are you a true believer? And I really want to answer this question tonight with you and my next guest. Beyond all the perceptions of the politicians, and especially the Canberra Press Gallery journos, what's life like in what I think are some of our Salton Earth suburbs? What issues are impacting on your life, exercising your mind? How are you viewing the fortunes of Gillard Abbott Labor Coalition? Give us a call, 1300 40 2020. While you do, I'm so glad that Ray Galea has joined us. Here is a salt of the earth bloke. He's lived and ministered in Rooty Hill for all his life. If anyone knows what it's really like, it is him. Ray Galea, welcome to Open House.
Lee, great to be here.
And great to see you. So give us a sketch of Sydney's west, these kind of suburbs, and the people who live there?
Well, if you take Blacktown Council, which has about 300 plus thousand, you will have a full range. So the caricature of the western suburbs is that, anywhere from public housing, some unemployment, right through to working class, trades, professionals, multi-ethnic. There's a breadth of ethnicity. In our own congregation, we'd have 60 different ethnic groups represented. So that'll be the typical range that you'll find. So it's not just one kind of demographic, it actually has quite a range of people.
Yes, it's not as neat as the politicians or the political minders might try and convince us that it is.
No, obviously there are generalities you can say, but as a rule, there's the normal diversity you find from that really represents Australia, encapsulated in the western suburbs. Perhaps a greater range of diversity be the thing that I love about the western suburbs, yeah.
Not just working class, in inverted commas. That's the perception.
Yeah. No. Take, for example, you'd have sort of fifth generation Aussie, salt of the earth, you know, been there a long time, migrants who've come post-war, like my parents, right through to recent immigrants, refugees. In Rooty Hill in particular, we've got a whole bunch of refugees that are coming in now on a regular basis.
What are the issues on their minds and in their lives, right?
I think, again, like most people, there's employment, health issues, work, education. They're the issues that always affect most people. And, of course, you know, at a spiritual level, I'd want to say that there's either a hunger or a confusion about God that probably is needing to be answered.
The days are long for these people in terms of the commute to and from work?
Right. For those who work in the city, and that's quite a few, the trains are critical, and any one of us who gets in the car and goes to the city, get ready for a long trip there and back. And so that is actually an issue that wears you down, because you not only have the normal weight of work, and, you know, employers now are requiring more of their employees, but on top of that, then you have the travel time, which is easy, an hour and a half there and back if you work in the city, for example, and that's quite a few.
Can you give us a picture of what family life is like?
I mean, you've got single-parent households. The majority are a couple with children, you know, striving to pay the mortgage or pay the rent. There's both represented. That work-rest balance is the struggle for them, you know, for us, as it is for anyone, yeah.
Fair bit of financial stress, mortgage stress.
Yes. It really depends, you know, if you've over-mortgaged, of course, you're feeling it more, and that's a classic mistake people can make. There's a good number that are renting. Post-GFC, the global financial crisis, I think we're feeling the impact of that more and more as the years go on. I don't think we felt it straight away, but I think the effect of that now is being felt 2 and 3 years down the track.
I don't want to kind of corral you into a political interview, because that's not fair, I don't think. But what sort of response do you think Julia Gillard's going to be getting in this week?
Probably a range. You know, there'll be those who are just kind of pleased that the PM's in our area. You know, that's really nice, I think. I think if you're a Labor voter, you'll have probably two views there, those who felt betrayed by what happened with Kevin Rudd and those who are, you know, sticking with her. There are those who've just lost their job, and you tend to work from your immediate story, don't you? I mean, if you've just lost your job, you go to the person who looks like they're responsible for that. If you're a Liberal voter, probably you'll have your classic Liberal voter views in relation to her, so and or independent. So I think the majority will be glad that she's there and hearing questions, and they themselves will have a whole bunch of questions they would like her to answer as well.
Is there something that you would tell the typical press gallery journalist as they swan in as well as part of the entourage?
Don't caricature the western suburbs is what I'd want to say.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you're from the North Shore, the eastern suburbs, I understand this because my wife was from Kiama. I'm born and bred in Rudy Hill. So this is home to me. This is just normal.
Yeah.
But what you discover aren't caricatures, are a diversity of people from a diverse set of circumstances and who are, I think, are plain speaking and really, I think, salt of the earth. You know, there's a lack of, if you want to generalize about the western suburbs, there's a lack of pretense. So what you see is what you get. And any of my student ministers over the last 22 years who have come from other parts of Sydney to work in our church for a couple of years will always say that. That's what they love about the western suburbs, that lack of pretense. And so if there's an issue, they'll tell you, and they'll generally tell you straight to your face.
And I'm sure you love the work there.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the reasons why I do. I just don't like – I like people who are straight shooters, and so there is a sense where that's the case. And I'm sort of born in Rudy Hill. I'll probably die in Rudy Hill.
Yes.
There.
So is that why that you've gone there? So why not elsewhere?
No, really. It's actually – I mean, to be honest, my first preference might be New York City, but okay. That didn't seem to be on God's agenda. When I started the Multicultural Bible Ministry 22 years, and today we've celebrated our anniversary,
yes.
I wanted to reach people who are from my background and from my part of the world. And so we planted a church. It's essentially a Bible study in my neighbour's home in Blacktown. And essentially we kind of grew. We were attached to Blacktown Anglican at the time. They were very kind to have us with them. And then after about 5 years, we grew to a point we needed a home of our own. And I was looking for perhaps a dying Anglican church in the area. And Rudy Hill was struggling at the time. And they needed people and we needed real estate. So in 1997, we amalgamated. And so I found myself in the very same suburb where I used to be an altar boy up the road.
Numbers are not nearly everything in a church, but what's it grown to from such humble beginnings?
So we started off with about five or six people in a Bible study in 1991. And we have now about, on any given Sunday, close to 800 adults and children. From people from about 60 different ethnic backgrounds. It's been a real delight to be on this wonderful journey.
And happy anniversary for
today. Thank you very much, Lynn.
I think it's probably worth, while we've got you here, exploring some of your story of a Rudy Hill-born man. We'll be hearing so much about that suburb this week.
Yeah.
What's your story, Ray?
Personally, I grew up, I'm sort of son of two Maltese parents. I'm a thoroughbred. And I'm particularly indebted to my mother, who really conveyed the idea that God was real and personal. And but it was pretty, and you know, we went to church three times a week, literally the Catholic Church up the road, St. Aidan's, had lots of beautiful experiences there growing up. But really, from about ages 15 to 20, it was God on my terms, even though I always believed in Him, it was God on my terms. Then, when I was studying social work at Sydney University, a friend of mine, Anne, whose parents were atheists and she was an atheist, started reading a Gideon Bible that you hand out at school, and she became a Christian. And I could see the transformation in her, and I knew she had something I didn't have. As strong as I was a believer in God, I knew she had something quite distinct. Well, in hindsight, it was a relationship with Christ. And one day she said to me, "Ray, you need to make a decision about Jesus. He's either Lord, lunatic, or liar." Well, I put that on the back burner for a while because I didn't want to change my lifestyle. By this stage, I was partying hard in Bondi. Anyway, at the end of that year, I dropped out of social work and went for a reflective walk at about 6 in the morning near the sewage outlet at Dover Heights, for want of a better place. And I thought, if Christianity is true, I'm in big trouble, because I knew I hadn't investigated the claims of Christ. And I thought, I'll make a deal with you, Jesus. If you're out there, You said seek, and if we seek, we'll find. So I said, I'll give you 3 weeks. I'll read the Bible. You persuade me if it's true. And really, for the next 3 weeks, I just started reading the Bible. And he was kind enough not to zap me on the spot. 3 weeks later, I'm in the Hotel Bondi with two of my friends trying to persuade me not to become a Christian. And at the end of it, since we all sinned in the same areas, I could be quite specific. So they counted the cost for me, really. They said, if you become a Christian, Ray, these things will have to change. Yeah. And literally, it took about 20 minutes to go through that list. And at the end of the day, I thought, well, that's right. And at the end of that conversation, it was like that fork in the road. I could run my life my way for the next 60 years and miss out on what God had to offer me, or I could surrender and enjoy forgiveness. So I said, guys, you just persuaded me. I'm a Christian. And so we went back to the flat. The bong went round. I said, no, thank you. And here we are.
That was 30, it.
33 years later.
And no second thoughts after that.
Oh, you know, a couple of years later, I thought to myself, if I delayed a little bit, I might have partied a little bit longer. But I quickly realized that God's way is the best way. Yeah. I mean, there were not real doubts, not in that sense. No, I knew Jesus rose from the dead. I was thoroughly persuaded. I fell in love with Jesus just reading the Gospels, really, and have been in love with him ever since, you know. So there's no sense of doubt at that level. Maybe the early on that I might have, you know, wished I made the decision a little bit later, but that was my foolishness because I quickly woke up to the fact that, as I said, God's way is the best way.
What's kept you going through all the highs and lows of life and especially Christian ministry?
Oh, the promise that Jesus is with you, that every day is a fresh start. Seeing his work in my life and in the life of others, you know, just seeing lives transform around you. And this is a living Jesus that I serve and we serve. And it is a powerful good news message. And I guess I'm in a privileged way that I get to see that regularly happening. I've seen life, and the vision of our church is to see lives transformed through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. And that's what I constantly see, and I'm forever thankful to God.
And in the suburb about which we're hearing a lot about in this coming week, what has Christian faith, what has this Jesus meant for people? Is there perhaps one particular person you can point to and say, this is how Jesus connects in that kind of suburb, in this kind of world?
Again, the stories are as varied as they are,
but
they all end up at the same place, at the foot of the cross. So one story that, someone who became a Christian about 8 months ago, seeing his life transformed, a Vietnamese man, a beautiful man, who came from, you know, grew up in a home where there was domestic violence, was part of gangs, you know, really serious gangs in Melbourne, been on ice for about 13 years.
Wow.
And I don't mean the stuff from the freezer.
No.
His life, his brother had come to know Christ many years ago, and just seeing the transformation in his life, he's really leading the way for us to care for refugees in the area. He himself was a part of the boat people, the Vietnamese who came out in the 80s, and now he's got a real heart to want them to be cared for, body and soul. Yeah, so seeing his transformation has been a beautiful story, but, you know, one of many.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure that's true. I'm so glad you've come in, especially on your anniversary. Happy anniversary again, and given us a real kind of on-the-ground picture of Rudy Hill as opposed to what the political minders and the journos say.
I tell you, it's the place to be, Lee. And I just, you know, as we look back over 22 years, you asked me about what keeps me going. Another key element is just seeing my people being transformed. And they've been such a blessing to me. So on this anniversary, I just want to say how thankful I am to God for my wife and kids and for the Multicultural Bible Ministry at Rudy Hill.
Great story. Thank you so much indeed, Ray Collier.
Thanks, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.